Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. How are you doing this week, Mom?
Good, good. Yeah? I have to follow up on something that we had talked about a month ago, which is pickleball.
Oh, well, okay. How's your pickleball game coming?
So I have to say, I just went and took a lesson.
Oh my gosh.
So for anybody that's never played pickleball, one, it's the fastest growing sport in the U.S. Maybe, I don't know, worldwide, I don't know. But it was such a weird experience because having been a tennis player and a paddle player, I had a sense of the ball and where to hit it, but the scoring is one of the most complicated things I have no idea what the score was at any one time because they have your score and then they have the opponent's score. And then you have to say either one or two, which is talking about who the server is. So the score looks like it could be 1-1-2. And that means we each have 1 point and the second person on the team is serving. Or it could be 5-4-1. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
So that alone was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But it was super fun. Definitely see why it's trending so quickly and so much fun for so many people.
Yeah.
And we went to an inside place, which was great. It had 7 courts. Boston Pickle Club, which is terrific.
Yeah.
And I must confess that I will try it again. And I want to try it again. I just have to find people that can score because I obviously cannot do that by myself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But it was fun.
The scoring thing reminds me of I weightlift in the morning, right? I get up, you know, before 6 and I'm at the gym before 6. And the thing that happens, you're always like, you got to keep on doing this like math of like, okay, how much weight am I lifting? And you're like, this is not peak mathematics time for me. Like,
yeah.
I'm super tired because it's really early. I am super tired because I'm exercising. Like, why can't they just, because they put the weight in such weird units. It's like 45 pounds or like 35 pounds or 25 pounds. You're like, can we just do like the decimal system here?
Yeah. It's true. It's like small things that pull you down when you're trying to learn something new or do something good.
Yeah. Or just like the mental load. It just, there are times a day when you can handle it and there's times a day that are not ideal. Okay. So this month we're talking about the Boston rental market. This is peak month for getting that going. And this week we're going to talk about Boston's high-end rental properties. So let's start with what defines luxury rentals in Boston?
Do you have thoughts? Because
I've got a couple. I've got a couple, but ladies first.
Oh, okay. Well, so for me, the building service, in other words, concierge service and the amenities of the building that might include parking, exercise, but most importantly, that falls into this, I think, is location and views. Because you can be in a building that's 20 stories high, and if you're at the 5th story, you're literally looking out to the building that's
next to you,
next to you, which is 20 feet away. So views, when they say it has a view, you really have to figure out what that means.
Right.
A view of what?
Right. I will make one distinction. You know, luxury can mean, it's kind of like a marketing term. And so if you've been around the block like we have, you know there's luxury building and then there's luxury building, right? So there are like the One Daltons of the world, the St. Regis's of the world, or the Pier 4s of the world. And then there's just like a lot of buildings where they're just nice, right? They've got amenities. They have a doorman. They've got
services.
Yeah. And they're relatively new, but they might, you know, the finishes are like fine, right? So in my book, the one thing I would add to your list is age. A lot of really luxury places here are on the newer end. And there's exceptions, right? There's the Ritz.
Right.
What's the place in the waterfront that I can't, that's escaping me right now? But there's another one there. They're older and they are, I still consider them luxury. But around here, most luxury is built within the last 10 to 20 years.
Rose Wharf.
Rose Wharf, that's right.
Because that's an older, It's got great views, but it is an older set of buildings.
Right, exactly.
And relative to today's world.
Yeah, exactly. And every building like eventually becomes old, right? That's just, you know, all these, one Dalton will at some point be 50 years old, right?
Right.
And so,
true.
If we're all lucky. So I think you hit on all the right points. The one, and then there, again, getting back to this like luxury versus luxury distinction, you can do all those things and then you can just do them really extra. So I think, the M Tower, the common space in the M Tower and the pool, they just look really nice. There's lots of buildings that have common space and a pool, but these are just, they were just designed to be aesthetically pleasing. And I think that makes a huge difference. And that's what you're paying for when you're paying for that top shelf rental.
Yeah, I agree.
So what are the unique amenities that Boston's luxury rentals offer?
I mean, I think dog bathing is one that I've seen most recently. That was for dog owners that are moving to the city. And if you're moving to the city from the suburbs, that dogs, animals present somewhat of a problem because you typically are higher up and they also have areas to water your dogs in the building somehow. There's a space, which I think is helpful.
I also think the concierge services, so the really high-end buildings, they're basically hotels. Right? You're basically living with hotel-level service. So the guys that are like make restaurant reservations for you or take care of organizing your ride to the airport, you know, or
receive your groceries and put them up in your unit.
Exactly. Like or get that schedule, the dog walkers, et cetera. Like that to me is, maybe unique's the wrong word, but those are really special because those are just, when you're paying top dollar, you're not paying for extra space or anything like that. Like the unit size is what it is. But you're paying to live your life a certain way and you got to get that time back.
It's the easy living component.
Exactly. Easy living.
And that's what people are paying top dollar for.
Exactly. So to me, those services are a big differentiator between our really high-end buildings and more like middle market or even just nice, you know, upper middle market rentals. I think this is a good one. Who typically rents a luxury rental in Boston?
Well, in my experience, I've had clients that have sold a home and are not exactly sure where they want to live in Boston because there's certainly a lot of choices from being in the Seaport to One Dalton to Clarendon. All these buildings are in different locations, and I don't think they really know until they get downtown what their day-to-day life looks like.
Right. I've found a lot of executives also like these luxury rentals because they don't know, right? Like being an executive is like being a meteor. Like a lot of times you can burn bright and fast, right?
And
so you don't know if, hey, maybe I'm going to be here for 10 years, but maybe I'm going to be here for two.
We also have a very large sports community.
Yeah.
Because we have very significant. We've got four good sports teams and those players come in and out a lot. So that's another group of kind of in and out of rentals. And they want convenience. They want accessibility to a hotel if they have guests coming in, you know. Yeah. So I think there is a marketplace for a lot of different types of people looking for luxury, whether it's short term, whether it's because they're relocated for a job, or they're moving from the suburbs into the city and they just don't know what they really need.
Right. I think the common thread among all these is there's a bit of, there's like a transient nature to their living situation. They don't know. And so they don't want to, they don't want to buy a condo or buy a house because, you know, housing markets, they go up, they go down, they go flat. And so they don't want to get in a situation where they feel like they're locked into their house. Awesome. All right. So we're going to take a quick break and then we've got our joke of the week and a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right. You have a joke for me, Mom?
I do. I have got a good
Go
one
for it.
This week. So why did the treehouse feel superior?
It was higher than the other houses.
No, no. It was always branching out. That's pretty good, I thought.
That is pretty good.
I must say, one of the highlights of my week as I prep for this weekly podcast is looking for funny jokes, because you go online and there are like millions of them, and some of them I don't get and some of them are just really funny.
Yeah, I agree. I like the joke part of it, which coincidentally, somebody's asking us, what's the most fun thing about being a real estate agent?
Oh, for me, it's meeting new people and helping someone with kind of their big purchase. Usually it's one of their biggest assets, but it's definitely the people that have made my world better.
Yes, I'm 100% in agreement. I think the people are what makes this business interesting. Like, the houses are cool too. And if you turn on HGTV and watch the real estate agent shows, a lot of it is about the house. But when you're actually doing it, it's mostly about the people.
It is.
And, you know, it's one of those jobs where it just requires a lot of empathy and a lot of discipline to meet people where they're at. Because a lot of times it's stressful. A lot of times people are transitioning in a lot of different ways, and housing just being one of them. And I love that art of figuring out who you are as a person and trying to help you figure out what the right place to live is.
And I also think as you work with sellers, the other thing I have had to use in a big way is the psychology that surrounds different people's styles.
Yeah.
And if you read your clients well and understand where they're coming from, you can help them transition through whatever experience it is, whether it's buying or whether it's selling, because there's a lot of emotion all over the place. And it doesn't always get locked into logic or money or the fact that you're trying to execute a deal.
Right.
So it's a juggling act to make sure everybody keeps moving forward and you reach your objective, but along the way you do it in a way that they're comfortable.
Totally. And the other piece of this too, I think with sellers, there's such an emotional attachment to our homes, right? And there you have to have a lot of conversations about sort of dissociates your life and the life that you made in that home with what you're trying to achieve right now, which is often getting the most money for yourself or your family, so that, you know, what you are sufficiently funded for the next stage of your life. I've gotten questions like, should I come to the open houses for my house? I'm like, no, because you do not want to hear the mean things that people sometimes say about your house, because it'll bother you. But like, it doesn't matter, right? If they don't like the house, they don't like the house. That's their business. Or another thing that's big is getting houses ready for sale. Sometimes they need some touch-ups. Sometimes they need staging. And talking to people about like how just because I want to change the way your house looks for sale does not mean that like I'm judging you or your style. It's just, I'm telling you, this is what gets you the most money, for better or for worse, you know?
And that plays into also landlords, because one of the things that oftentimes happens in a building is, and the big thing that I've seen is the washer dryer situation. You know, so there are units still that don't have washer dryers in the units. And some people say, I'm not moving someplace where I have to go down to the basement or on the floor.
Totally. So thanks so much for the awesome questions. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yeatsboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yeats Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yeats Team Boston, or on the web at yeatsboston.com.